Patsy. Can you believe it? Just two more days, and the election will finally be here. And if you haven't voted, I hope that you will, that you understand it's your responsibility to vote, to have a say in those who will lead our nation, our state, our local communities. And if you're still undecided, I have some words of wisdom for you. One political pundit said, vote for the man or the woman who promises the least. That way you'll be the least disappointed. On the other hand, Noah Webster once said that in selecting men or women for office, look to his character. In any event, in the presidential race, the choice is Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Donald Trump wants to make America great. Joe Biden wants to make America better. Now, those are worthy goals if they're more than just words. But I must tell you that neither candidate can deliver on what America needs most. For America needs more than an election. And America needs more than the same man or a different man in the White House. America's great need is not secular or material. America's great need is to somehow find our way back to our spiritual roots and to a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the question is, what will it take for that to become a reality? What will it take to reach America for Christ? As I've already stated, it will take more than an election to reach our nation for Christ, more than a new administration or the same administration. And I must tell you, it will take more than churches and clergymen to reach America for Christ. We have over 300,000 churches in America today and over 600,000 ministers of various stripes. And if building churches and ordaining ministers would have won America to Christ, we would have converted every man, woman, boy, and girl, and household pet a long time ago. And it will take more than money to reach America for Christ. Southern Baptists are a generous people. Tramway Baptist people are a generous people. You excel in the grace of giving. Now, in the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2020, Southern Baptists gave over $192.9 million to the cooperative program. That's a lot of money. money that churches and institutions need to operate, money for programs and salaries and literature, money to support missionaries at home and abroad. But money alone will not reach America for Christ. And it will take more than prayer to reach our nation for Christ. Yes, prayer is vital, vital for our convention as a whole and in the life of the local church. Everything we do, every plan we make, every step we take, every decision, every activity must be clothed in prayer. Every local community must be, ought to be, should be bathed in prayer. As Baptists, we believe that things happen when we pray that do not happen when we do not pray. We claim new ground for Christ first in prayer. Unashamedly, we stand with Paul saying, "Pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed on its way and be glorified." But prayer alone will not reach America for Christ. What will it take? First of all, it will take men and women like you and me who truly believe that America needs Christ, that our friends and neighbors need Christ. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus said that he came that men might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Pastor Manner Tyson writes that one night he waited at a Waterbury, Connecticut traffic light. And as he did, he was reflecting on the evening worship service he had just led. 75 people, he tells us, had raised their voices in praise to God. What a joy, he said, to see that in the inner city in New England, people were responding and open to the gospel of Christ. And he thought that the attendance that evening reflected that openness. And as he sat there at that stoplight, Tyson said that he noticed light streaming from a tiny storefront church. Inside were children, African-American children, Puerto Rican, Anglo. They were dressed in costumes, reenacting a Bible story. Another example, Tyson thought, of New Englanders being reached for Christ. But then he said, across the street in the darkness, Tyson said, I noticed a lone prostitute watching the children's drama through the window. And my heart ached at the sight, he said. And I realized once again that needy people are right outside our churches. And Tyson said he prayed that an urgency would grip all of God's people everywhere to share Christ. He said, we must reach beyond the church and touch lives and hearts of all people who are alone without Christ. And I wonder, do we ever see what Manner Tyson saw? What Jesus saw? Lost people, weary people, scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Right outside our church. What will it take to reach America for Christ? It will take men and women like you and me who will do their part where they right where they are. Who understand that they have a part to play in reaching others for Christ in the communities where we live. When Paul wrote that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, he was not speaking to ministers or to missionaries. He was talking to the church, the people of God. And when Jesus said to those disciples of long ago, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, he was also talking to the disciples today, people like you and me, reminding us that there are so many lost and lonely people. And there seems to be so few laborers in the fields today. And I need workers, said Jesus. Workers to go for me, to love for me, to care for me, to speak for me. You recall years ago, Mr. Rogers had a song that asked the question, won't you be my neighbor? I think the Lord Jesus is asking his church today, won't you love my neighbor and yours? What will it take to reach America for Christ? It will take men and women like you and me who will do their part where they are with what they have. You see, to be used by God, you don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a college degree. All that you need is a relationship with Christ that is real and genuine and a heart for people. And if you have those two things and a willingness to be used by God, he will send people your way. All kinds of people. Lonely people, hurting people, sorrowful people, lost people, that you might help them. That you might touch them in Jesus' name. Eric Ritz writes about Dr. Samuel Shoemaker. He was rector of Calvary Episcopal Church in New York City for over 25 years. He was known as an outstanding evangelical Christian who preached throughout his ministry that God expects Christians to be witnesses and prophets where they are. One day, a man by the name of Bill Levine was hired to do some painting in the church parsonage house. On that occasion, Herbie, the church custodian, decided that he was going to take Dr. Shoemaker's words literally. Herbie found Bill Levine down in the boiler room and wouldn't let him out until this man of no faith heard about the good news of the gospel of Christ. And Herbie told Levine, about the love of God in Christ and that Christ died for him. And Herbie was so convincing that Bill Levine, down there in that boiler room, gave his heart to Christ. And as a result, the two decided that they were going to meet down there on a weekly basis to share their experience for mutual support in prayer and Bible study. Eric Ritz tells us that the boiler room became Herbie's chapel. And after a short time, the two of them had grown into a group of more than 20 men. It met every Monday afternoon and attracted all kinds of people, from messenger boys to business executives. Herbie had not gone to seminary. He had little formal training. And Herbie didn't have the eloquence of Samuel Shoemaker, but he had the same sermon, the same message. Ritz tells us that Sam sought for souls in the sanctuary. Herbie looked for converts in the boiler room. But they were all human beings in great need, and they were all redeemed because one of Christ's disciples dared to be a prophet and a witness precisely where he lived and worked. Mark it down. God will use people where they are with what they have. And he will use you if you let him. What will it take to reach America for Christ? It will take men and women like you and me who will do their part where they are with what they have every chance they get. Opportunities to reach people, to touch people for Christ, will come our way day after day in the most unexpected way. And most of those opportunities will come our way but once. And so we have to be on the lookout for them, expecting them as they were or somehow God's appointments, claiming them when they come. The Apostle Paul understood this, and so he wrote to the church, "Walk in wisdom. To them that are without, redeeming the time." I like how the Living Bible translates that. It says, make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in your contacts with them. Claim your opportunities. Several years ago, more than several years ago, when I was in Clayton, I was sitting one night in Johnson Memorial Hospital emergency room, waiting with a family for a word on one of their loved ones who was in the back. I'd been there a couple of hours when a Hispanic couple came in with an infant wrapped in a blanket. The baby was restless, fussy, crying. Every now and then, the parents would put a piece of rolled up paper to the baby's mouth, and the baby would suck on it and then spit it out. And I thought to myself, well, you'd think they could give that baby something besides paper to put in his mouth. Of course, it didn't dawn on me at the time that that's probably the best they could do. That was all they could afford, that they didn't have any money for anything else. I didn't think about it at the time. Well, they were up and down with the baby. He'd cry, stop crying, then start again. And I'm thinking, can't you keep that baby quiet? A little while later, another Hispanic lady came out of the back where the examination rooms are. She was walking out the door to leave when she saw this Hispanic couple with the baby. She went over to them and spoke with them and then left. 30 minutes later, she returned with a bottle of orange Pedialyte from a nearby drugstore, gave it to the mother who gave it to her baby, who quieted down. And during the ensuing conversation that followed, I understood two words. Thank you from the mother and father, and the word church from the other lady. And it sounded like she was telling them the name of her church and then inviting them to attend. And this couple were nodding their head as if to say, yes, yes. And then the lady was on her way. I don't know what happened after that. But I suppose only heaven really knows what took place in the life of that couple. Because here was a lady who was moved with compassion. Because she saw a family that was weary. Like scattered sheep. And in that moment, she became a laborer of Christ to that couple and that infant. Now, I find no pride in telling you that sitting there in that emergency room with a crying baby, I was not looking or thinking, here's an opportunity for Christ that will never come again. But I have thanked God again and again that someone was. And they claimed that opportunity when it came their way. For that's what it will take. Every chance we get. And as we go this morning, here's some words to take with you. Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize? People need the Lord. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. And during this time of music and reflection, may we open our hearts, may we recommit our lives to our calling of God in Christ.